hour number three. Monday night, Erica Kahn is back with us tonight. We are doing our very best to stay on top of an incredibly sophisticated and seemingly almost constantly changing landscape of this bioweapon and what it does and what it's doing to the human body. It's astonishing. And in the foreground of all this, since 2 years ago now, this month, we have been victimized by the most ruthless, heartless, evil, controlled media manipulation that I have ever seen. This is worse than World War II, what's going on. The lies are astounding. And the lie of omission continues to play a key role in the whole control grid and matrix. It's no joke. Welcome back, Erica. How are you?
Good, Jeff. Thank you for having me back.
It's always my pleasure. And I should mention to all of you that we have been doing this program now for almost a year, coming up on a year. And Erica is volunteering her extraordinary talent and wisdom and scientific acumen to try to help all of us do a little better. If we rely on the alt media or the mainstream media, we're just about as screwed in either way. It doesn't matter. I mean, when you look at the big three and the alt media, you're looking at the deep state. Understand, they would rather control the truth and let it out, they parse it out, rather than be out of the game. They've got to control everything. That's what it's all about. It's not just greed. It's part of the psyop. This is an incredibly sophisticated psychological operation and takedown of an entire way of life. It's not just here in the U.S. It's not just in Europe, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. It doesn't matter. It's all white, Western, Christian, culturally based nations. They've been marked. They're the first target. They're being taken down. Don't discount for a moment the Deagle projections. I think they're well worth considering at all times. This is not going to get better. And when Biden makes his remarks tomorrow, David Oates will be recording. I've been aware of this for several days. I think you're going to see something extraordinarily ugly. Just wait and see. We'll all see it together tomorrow. David Oates will be with us tomorrow night to hopefully run reversals on it, and we'll see what's really going on. I want to also mention very briefly that the very brave, extraordinarily dedicated and talented Dr. Judy Mikovits lost her husband, and there is a memorial up there that she read. It is a very heart-moving piece, beautifully written, beautifully read. It's up at the top of headlines, so I'd like you to spend 10 minutes with Judy in honoring her late husband. Okay, what do you have, anything you want to put on the table here? We're going to jump into some things and kind of freewheel it for a little bit, and then we've got a video later we want to take a look at as well. Where are we? Where are we in this thing?
I think we're progressing and gaining momentum in terms of the number of people that are suffering the consequences of their decision to get this injection. I'm personally aware of two people who have died in the last week or so, unvaxxed, came down with whatever it is that's going around and ended up in a hospital and likely on remdesivir and then the subsequent ventilator, which is the kiss of death, really.
You're talking about two murders, sounds like.
Essentially,
to me.
Yeah, or completely incompetent care.
Mm-hmm.
What's also concerning me is the number of people reporting, these are unvaxxed, spontaneous outbreaks of herpes infections, most notably shingles, but then other ones as well. I mean, the Bell's palsy, sudden occurrence of Bell's palsy, which can be a reactivation of a herpes simplex 1 infection. But these are people who are unvaxxed. So obviously there's something out there that is stressing their immune systems to have this happen.
Oh, absolutely. I got an email this morning from a friend of this program, a friend of ours, all of ours, and he talking about a nurse. His wife is a nurse, and he wrote back, and they're in the northwest portion of the U.S., somewhere up there. They are severely understaffed, he wrote to me. And yes, the ER and the floors are filling up. It is still most always the vaxxed. And he's talking about his wife. He says, I think she has seen a few cases of what was running around in Kansas City. She went on to say, it's nearly impossible to draw blood out of these vaxxed people. She said she'll hit the vein, insert the test tube needle, and only a few drops come out. And what comes out is thick, viscous, and dark, almost black, which means there's no red, that's oxygen, so there's very little hemoglobin in the blood of these people. This thing, he writes, is a very well thought out weapon. They're not just playing games. And the Deagle projections are probably right with those numbers. It's from the husband of a professional nurse. Very interesting.
Well, that's consistent with reports we had a couple months ago from phlebotomists and people working in these blood donation centers. They can tell right away the vaxxed people. Some of the vaxxed people are having to do bloodletting, essentially. Because they're retaining too much iron and their blood is getting very thick. And so the only real way to get rid of iron is through bloodletting. And so the phlebotomists that are working in these facilities are seeing a lot of that. And we've also seen, it was a photograph of a side-by-side comparison of a pooled bag of normal blood and then a bag of blood from a vax person, and you could see the color difference. I mean, the vax blood was almost burgundy.
Yeah. Wait till you see what I'm going to put up tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Or maybe I'll hold it till Wednesday when Erica's back. She's seen it. I'm waiting for a little bit more data. Fascinating. Blood from an unvaxed and blood from a vaxed. And you aren't going to believe your eyes. You've seen some of them before, but I don't think quite as clear as this. This is very stunning. Now, let me ask you a question. These people who work in blood banks, and this brings up the issue of, is the blood supply safe? And the answer is a resounding from the rooftops, no. So if you have an elective transfusion, elect out. Don't do it. I understand if you have to have it, that's another thing. But this blood is not safe. And let me ask you this. The people who work in these blood donation centers, let's say Red Cross, I don't care who it is, wouldn't you think, Erica, that they'd know damn well within a second or two who's been vaxxed and who hasn't been in many cases just by looking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they mentioned the same thing about trying to get the blood to come out, you know, once they do the venipuncture, to come out through the needle and start flowing. It just doesn't flow. And then we had that one report of as the blood was being collected, the machine was going off. There's an alarm on the machine when it begins to clot or stagnate, and the thing was pinging
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So
this
okay.
is not healthy blood.
It shouldn't be in the system. It should not be in the general blood supply. But it's too late because they mix it all together according to type. That's
yeah,
not,
I, they
not
seem
not
to
uncommon.
Go back and forth on whether or not they're accepting blood from the vaxxed or not. Initially, they were. They were not putting any restrictions on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the status is now. It seems to change. But, when we could look at those pictures that we had up there from Friday, the live blood analysis pictures of these microbial life forms mm-hmm. being spawned in a matter of minutes after the blood was drawn. If that blood is not oxygenated and it's full of protein, well, of course it's going to spawn all kinds of microbial life.
Yeah. All right. Where these can be seen, and I put them together. We worked on this after the program to make sure they were all up there and correctly labeled. And they're right. If you look at the top of the archive on the right side, where the rotating pictures of the alleged coronavirus spike protein are, you'll see it. It's a big block of text under Jeff and Erica last Friday, and you'll see the videos that are there. And it's what's her name?
That was Dr. Suzanne Humphreys.
Look for that especially, and you'll see. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yep.
It's mind-boggling. But wait, now you've seen what I have, and what was your reaction to that?
It's hard to imagine the person whose blood was as thick as it is in these images, in these photographs. How are they even walking
around? How are they living?
I mean, it's almost the consistency of jelly.
That is no exaggeration. Cranberry sauce, whatever. How do you do it? How can you live like that? I'll have these up. I'm needing a little bit more data to further ID each picture, but they were made by a doctor of her own children, a 17-year-old son and a 26-year-old daughter. The daughter did not get vaxxed. The smart-ass son snuck out and went behind his mother and got the shots, even though she's a doctor. His blood looks like sludge.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even begin to think what the mother is feeling. I mentioned that, and it's not to single this out, because this thing is something that is occurring all over the world. The world. There's grief everywhere. There are broken hearts, broken families, lost family members. It's just the whole thing is a horror. We're in the front row seat of a sci-fi movie that we're in, and we can't get out of it.
Yeah, and I think it's just beginning, really.
I'm afraid you're right. By the way, Nurse Anne will be back with us Friday this week. She works in a major hospital in the Northeast, so she'll be back. That's going to be interesting. All right, now, we have a friend, an MD, a medical doctor. He's in the Midwest, and he works in an urgent care facility and takes care of senior facilities, senior centers. And he's been reporting to us of what appears to be something new. He had 20 cases in 90 minutes at this urgent care center he works at, and the people were all presenting with the same symptoms. Cough, high fever, 101, 104, some GI problems, difficulty breathing, and severe, capital S, fatigue. 90% of the people, all but two, he thinks, were vaxxed. Only two were unvaxxed. Now, if you remember what I just read a few minutes ago, let me pull it up again if I can find it. This man who's married to a professional nurse said about his wife, they are running 6 to 7 patients per nurse, and the load is supposed to be 2. They are severely understaffed, and yes, the ER and the floors are filling up. It is still mostly the vaxxed people in there. I think she has seen a few cases of what was running around that you reported on in the Kansas City area. And this new whatever it is vicious. It's not COVID. It may be the flu. What do you think?
I think the flu is probably a good guess. I mean, they've been pushing the flu shot, and they've been pushing it at the same time as a COVID booster, which I think is absolutely disastrous. These people that have had the shot are the COVID injection are immune suppressed for a period of time, maybe indefinitely, and now they're going out and getting a live flu shot with four strains of influenza in it. So they
each strain allegedly attenuated. Yeah.
Well, they're attenuated, and if you have you're immune competent, that should be just enough stimulation to, you know, cause you to react and develop some protection. But these people are immune suppressed, so in those situations, live viruses can be disastrous. They can regain virulence and become infectious, contagious, and be spread. And who knows what's in these flu shots? Maybe it's the flu, maybe it's something else.
Maybe it's something entirely differently stated. Your point early on, and no one else was saying this, was that the adenovirus and the J&J shot is supposedly attenuated. But we don't know if it's attenuated or not. We really don't know. And your guess, and I think it's a very good projection, is that this virus, in many cases, can regain its competence and its strength and move out of the body and possibly spread.
Yes. And, the other situation that could be happening with that adenovirus is that they have to grow it in a cell culture that has viable, full-fledged, fully competent adenoviruses or helper viruses in there, and then purify those out. And if this is a rushed job and they're not purifying the full-strength viruses out, well, you're getting some of those too. So, these ones that are supposed to be replication incompetent can easily borrow the genes they need to become competent again and become pathogenic or contagious, infectious.
Spike protein carriers, we don't know.
They're genetically modified to carry the spike protein or to produce a spike protein.
That's their job. That's right.
Yeah.
With the EUA, do remember this. Not only are the manufacturers off the hook, they're scot-free in terms of liability, but further, they can change the formula of what they're putting in their alleged vaccines with nobody raising an eyebrow.
Yeah, nobody's checking this. There's no third-party verification of what's in these vials. I mean, we have amateur people attempting to do it, but so far I have not seen anybody isolate or purify or analyze the nucleotides that are supposedly in these things. And that's the real mystery. Well, what are these things coding for?
We don't know. They could be changed weekly, monthly. They could be changed every 6 months. We're obviously going to be in the booster game from here on out. That's not going to change. And the booster is under the EUA also. So we're really in trouble. I just don't know what to tell people who have been given this bioweapon, and it is not a vaccine. And that brings me to another thing that has caused me and Erica considerable concern. There are about, a dozen media docs, we'll call them, that are commonly available on the internet that are talking about this and that and the, what they call the vaccine. We got a dozen out there? Something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right. And I'm not going to name any names, but I'm going to suggest that the next time you see any of these people, you listen very carefully. And if they use the term vaccine, you need to come to a conclusion right away, in my view, that they're not being straight with you. This is not a vaccine. Has never been a vaccine and never will be a vaccine. Wasn't designed to be a vaccine, wasn't created to be a vaccine, wasn't deployed to be a vaccine. It was deployed for one reason.
I agree.
Some of these are big
we're
names.
So far, we're so far down the primrose path now that the evidence is staring you in the face if you can't see it.
I'm not sure that a lot of people can see it, even if they get exposed to it. A lot of them stare at MSNBC and CNN and think they're getting news. But I really wonder sometimes if those who can see it don't want to see it. There's that. Our population, and it's not just us, it's Europe, it's Canada, it's a Western white Christian first world, has been so beaten to a pulp for 2 years now that these people are wrecked for life, many of them. They're going to have PTSD for the rest of their lives. And if you think it doesn't bother Erica and I, you should think again. This is very difficult work, but somebody has to, go ahead.
No, it's sad. It's tedious, exhausting. It's
frustrating as hell. And it's also extremely unprofessional in many ways. And when you see these people with their green screens or whatever they're doing, and they're passing themselves off as the authorities, you need to listen very carefully. If you care, or you can listen to us, we're not going to lie to you, ever. We'll tell you. But if you see these big name people talking about, well, the vaccine is not supposed to do this, or that's bullshit. That's
well, and they're implying that we just need to tweak it a little bit and then it'll be good. There's no tweaking this thing. It's poison all the way around. It's interfering with your genetic expression. It's hijacking your protein production. It's dysregulating all of your molecular signaling. And it's asking you to produce a lethal protein that never quit.
One of the most lethal things, according to Dr. Chetty, the most lethal thing ever created by humankind. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but not much.
He's not overstating it. It is.
No.
It might as well be ricin.
We'll get there in a second. And that needs to be talked about. One of these big names on a big show said that it was her opinion that we could handle 90% at least of this crisis by simply putting, what were the three things?
HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and
three things to be put in the home. And one was go ahead. You know what?
Yeah, it was a nebulized hydrogen
nebulizer.
Peroxide.
Nebulizer mm-hmm. number one with H2O2. Okay. Number two is a pulse oximeter that you put on the end of your finger and check your oxygen. And I'll be damned if I can think of the third one. I should have written this down. But anyway, the point is, we're not going to turn this around with nebulizers or pulse oximeters.
Well, sadly, I think we're beyond that.
Way beyond that. And I don't think these people are doing us any favors by telling us stuff like this.
No, I mean, it's all a war. And I think, you know, you need to think of it that way, that even if it appears that this is over, get ready for round two.
Or round three, or four, or five. They got a shelf that's endless, and they can pull things off that shelf until the cows moo come home, and they're never going to stop it. We won't stop them. They'll do whatever it takes to achieve their agenda and their goal, and that is to reduce the population by a hell of a lot. I don't know how big, but a lot. A lot. Go look up the Georgia Guidestones, if you haven't. I know most of you have. 1980, put up in a woods out in the open in Georgia.
This is actually achievable without ever firing a bullet.
No need. Now, the media upon which we rely to remain relatively cognizant of the world around us has all been bought up years and years ago by thanks to Bill Clinton when he unregulated or deregulated the media. It's all been bought up by the same group. You're not going to get the truth. I don't care which side of the tracks you're talking about, you're going to get conned. And that's what the game is. Now, I made a little list here earlier today, and Erica mentioned one, which we'll get to. This has been played out on the basis of a number of, I'll call them signposts, road markers, touchstones, whatever. It's an item, and it occupies, it's the big buzzword of the week or the month. It just gets run around and run around all over the net, both sides of the tracks. And some of these things I did mention recently, about a week ago. The first one, of course, was what? It was the COVID virus. And what did we see from China?
Oh, people collapsing in the street, body
bags. Falling over dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that had a huge impact on America. Huge. And one thing morphs to another, and then they often will bring one back. They'll reconstitute it and relaunch it because they own the media. And these aren't necessarily in order, but they're approximately in order. The first was the COVID virus and how it was just terrorizing China, killing people at their desks, falling over dead in the streets, etc. Next up was 5G. Remember the 5G thing? Of course you do. It's back now again.
Yep.
5G is dangerous. You're exposed to 5G, and whatever they have out there is gonna you're gonna die. Whatever. So 5G was another one. And then one you mentioned the other day, which got a lot of coverage, was, and it's real. These aren't fakes. They're not all fakes, some are. But this is a real one, the magnetism thing. They use that very heavily.
Yeah, for a little bit.
And then it
was never really resolved before the graphene oxide came on the scene.
Never resolved, and then it was replaced with graphene oxide. Graphene oxide, the most terrible thing of all. Some people were saying that 90% of the vaccine bioweapon was graphene oxide. No, we don't know. We don't know what the hell's in there. Look at Dr. Humphrey's videos where I mentioned. It's in the archive on the right-hand side, or you can look over in Erica's column, this section, too. You'll find it. It's right there. Look at those videos. So we had the COVID virus and the horror videos and the alleged number of people who were dying right away, 5G, magnetism, graphene oxide, which was the villain of the month. Actually, that probably ran for a couple months. And then we had hydrogels, that was being thrown around. Again, I'm not exactly in order here, but you got to understand you're being played. Some of these things are real, some of them aren't. But anybody who refers to the kill shot as a vaccine is one of them or is guilty of lying by omission to you. That's me talking. I'm not speaking for Erica. I am highly offended by that. You cannot refer to this bioweapon as a vaccine. You can't do it. It's a lie. It's a dirty damn lie. Okay. COVID, the virus, the alleged virus, 5G, magnetism, graphene oxide, hydrogels. And then they came out with Hydras. The happy Hydra caper. One Hydra seen on one slide slip, and that was it. We kept waiting for all these other doctors to send in videos or stills, and what do we get?
Nothing.
Zero. So the Hydra, and I should have introduced this earlier, but the spike protein runs throughout the narrative. It's always the spike protein. It ebbs and flows like the tide. It's huge, it's big, it's terrible, then it goes away, replaced by a hydra or something else. Then it comes back. Okay? Spike protein all the way through along with the COVID virus. And then what did they spring on us? The variants.
So they've muddied the waters. You know, some of these things have merit and are certainly worthy of consideration. You know, the graphene oxide is absolutely in at least some of these, and that shouldn't be a surprise, because if you read the literature on nanotechnology, that the graphene oxide, in the case of these immunostimulant therapies, will dramatically enhance the uptake of the nucleic acids in these injections. So it's not like that is a surprise, at least to me, that that's in there. Same right. with the iron oxide nanoparticles. These things also can act as an adjuvant, meaning increase the potency of whatever it is they're trying to put into the cell. The hydrogels, I'm not sure they're actually using a hydrogel in these injections. They're more lipid nanoparticles. They could be using a hydrogel, but that's not so alarming. What I have not heard any of these detectives, so to speak, talk about, which really does need to be addressed, is the nucleic acids. That's the weapon. The RNA. You can do so much damage with RNA, and if that thing doesn't shut off,
nothing.
That's the code. That's the operating system. That's what's going to change you. And they can be changing that up on a dime. Every batch out there could have a different RNA, different messenger RNA. They could be using microRNAs. You don't need CRISPR in order to really screw up somebody's genome or their genetic expression. Epigenetics is everything. And RNA can do that extremely well.
MIRNA. Word games. Yep. Anagrams. Omicron.
Comirnaty.
It's all there.
Right in the name.
It's right there.
So.
Comirnaty.
Omicron. Are they laughing at us?
You bet. They never stop. They tell us. They just tell us. They put it right in our face. Delta variant, remember? Oh, my God, the Delta variant. Fauci just had to change his shorts every hour.
Even though they don't have a test.
It's a fake. No test. It was all a fake. No test.
It's still a fake.
I mean, he was acting like he was all upset and so concerned. That little creep. Now we got Omicron. A couple, 3 months ago, I think it was Gates who began to say, who was it said smallpox first? I don't remember. One of them told us we were going to be hit with smallpox next.
Well, and then there was that several news pieces talking about, did they approve a drug or something, or a vaccine for smallpox? That was it. So
they did.
Yeah.
That was a new drug. Sure. A new drug, orally administered, I assume, was approved that was supposed to suppress and deal with some form of smallpox. And I say, I don't know what form it is. If we get it, they've already told us. They also told us we were going to, the next thing we'd see would be Marburg.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yep.
Deadly hemorrhagic virus from Africa. Just like Ebola, say it's a cousin. And then they talked about ricin. Tell us more.
Right. So ricin is a lectin. It's a toxic lectin, which means it's just a protein. It's not a virus, just a protein that can be aerosolized. And when you inhale it, you can ingest it or inhale it. But when you inhale it, it's particularly lethal because it shuts down protein production in all of your cells. And if you can't stop it, or attenuate it, or mitigate it, you'll be dead in probably 2 days. So they've got a vaccine now for ricin.
Why did they do that? Why did they make a vaccine for ricin when ricin isn't something you're going to come into contact with at Walmart? Why did they do that? Why did they approve a drug for smallpox? Why did they do that? And you know how their approval process goes now. There virtually isn't any. And why were we being told that Marburg was coming? Okay? You got it? We're being played. Played. Now, all the things we've mentioned, some of them are quite real. Some of them aren't. Hydras? Fraud. The latest to be grafted on to COVID are the three letters that you all know. HIV. The new test is the HIV-COVID combination. That's what they're allegedly testing for. Why would they be testing for HIV?
Well, I think they need a reason to explain why people's immune systems are collapsing.
You got it. That's it.
And we certainly wouldn't suspect the vaccine or the injection.
It's also disgusting. And with 12,000 potential variants of the alleged COVID virus, you're never going to run out of this game. They'll either pull something else off the shelf, like Marburg or like a smallpox, or maybe, who knows, maybe rice. I don't know what they're going to do. But they're approving drugs that obviously are lining up for big money payoffs, right? For smallpox. And they also reconfigured the useless PCR test to look for Marburg. Wasn't that it?
Yes. Yep.
I think it was Marburg.
Yep.
So what... You got to look at this stuff, and you got to remember, and you can't let it escape completely. Now, this new issue that was running around has hit people very hard. Maybe some of you listening know somebody. Allison C. is apparently very effective on it, and I'm not pushing anything here. I'm just telling you straight. So be prepared. Wash your hands. For you unvaxxed, wear your masks when you're out. The idea of transmission, horizontal transmission, is very real and very dangerous. And it's going to get worse.
Yeah, as I said at the beginning of this program, the number of people reporting, unvaxxed people reporting these shingles outbreaks right now is alarming. And some of these are young people, you know, in their 20s and or, you know, otherwise healthy. They shouldn't be coming down with shingles. Now, shingles is not something you catch from another person. Shingles is already in you. And, you know, from having had a chickenpox virus.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're immune suppressed, that's when these, they tend to resurface or reactivate. And it's very, very painful.
They think now, by the way, that Bell's palsy is caused by, and this isn't new, they've thought about this for quite a while. I first actually got into a discussion with it with a neurologist, because I had Bell's palsy, and it's not fun. And he said something or another, and I said, well, you know what I think? He said, what? I said, I think it's herpes. I think it's a herpes virus in the nerve, in the seventh or the eighth cranial nerve that controls the musculature of one half of your face, whichever half you're talking about. And he says, it's amazing. That's what we're thinking now. We've just begun to look into that. And I think that that's what is causing a lot of this Bell's palsy. And it may be that it's disabling your immune system to the extent that herpes viruses begin to run wild in your system and cause damage to the seventh and eighth cranial nerve in your head in the case of Bell's palsy, or if you have shingles, usually around the rib cage is a common area for it. Happening. Go ahead.
The correlation there with the herpes simplex 1 virus and the Bell's palsy, it's fairly accepted now. There's quite a bit of literature on that.
That's
but the other connection, too, is the cytomegalovirus, which... you know, some percentage of the population has. It's also a herpes virus. That, when it activates, can result in tinnitus or hearing loss. And then, of course, we have the Epstein-Barr virus, also another herpes virus, that when that activates, you can get chronic fatigue. And maybe, I don't know, the people turning up in the ER right now that are exhausted to the point of, you know, not being able to move, they
severe.
May have
yeah.
activated their Epstein-Barr virus.
I didn't know Epstein-Barr was a member of the herpes virus family. That's very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I didn't know also. Go ahead.
I think about 40% of the population harbors Epstein-Barr latently.
Wow.
But when it's active, you know, you're just wiped out.
So I had my conversation when I had Bell's palsy. I got up in the morning and went to brush my teeth and looked at my face, and I had two different faces were stuck on my head, the right half and the left half, and they weren't coordinating. And I thought I had had a stroke, and I did. I got into a neurologist that day, and he said, no, it's not a stroke. And he told me what it was, and that's when I told him what I thought it was. And now you tell me, this is interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's accepted. As a cause, yeah.
Well,
but the other frightening thing about an activated herpes simplex virus is that can go to the brain. And I don't know if some of these neurological things we're seeing in people are the result of immune dysfunction and the herpes simplex making its way to the brain.
Could be. Well, my issue with Bell's was 25, 30 years ago. And I haven't walked into any walls lately, so I think I'm all right.
Good.
This is all, just remember, the gist of this particular segment of conversation is to help you stay aware of the fact that they are using things in the media to keep you on edge, off balance, in fear mode, etc. And then there are these people who are running around peddling fear porn for profit. And there's another one out there. And I'm gonna just tell you what his name is. It's Gene. What is it? I can't remember his name.
Gene Decode.
Gene Decode. That's what he goes by. Now, and I bring this up only because we've had dealings with this guy in the past, like 25 years ago, 20 years ago, with Morgellons. He was around then, trying to sell a product that would help Morgellons people. Well, now he's back, and he claims to have a way to reverse the damage done by the bioweapon injection. And one of these big name media docs is pushing this guy. And I talked to someone that you know, I think many of you, Cliff Mickelson, who has been a Morgellons expert for 30 years, and he well remembers this character. So, look, when someone starts to tell you that taking an alfalfa bath or whatever is going to reverse a genetic change in your body, that it'll reverse your GMO status, run.
Yeah.
Don't walk.
That's false hope.
I don't even think it's hope. And always,
you know,
go ahead.
The discouraging thing is I've not heard any of these people who are offering therapies or remedies for the damage addressing this RNA issue. You've got to get rid of these foreign nucleotides.
Well, alfalfa bath does it, doesn't it?
Well, I think in some people, certainly in various cases
bentonite
of Morgellons.
That's it, bentonite clay. I remember now.
These people are not reading the literature on what nano is, what Morgellons is, and how this thing, whatever it is, adapts, evolves, evades. I mean, just ask some of these Morgellons people.
I knew someone who has Morgellons, and I observed, okay? This was a big news story. And I watched this person pull colored fibers out of lesions with tweezers and put them on a glass surface. And you come back an hour later and they're gone. They crawled away. Now, this is along just 20 plus years ago. But I'm telling you, that's not nano. When you see a Morgellons fiber in a picture, it's not nano. Nano is so absurdly small. Erica has a specialty in nano. She's a specialist. She's a scientist. Tell them how small nano is. All these jerks are talking nano this and nano that. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
No, they really don't. I mean, nano is defined as something less than 100 nanometers. And in order to be able to see that, you need a transmission electron microscope or an atomic force microscope or scanning electron microscope to get down that small to even begin to see it. A red blood cell is about 7 microns, and you can fit 7,000 nano-sized particles in that. So to think a piece of graphene oxide in the nanoscale is going to rip that apart, the cell membrane, ain't happening. It's going right in. Now, the damage that nano can do is usually from oxidative stress. It generates free radicals that can damage cell membranes. It can affect protein folding within the cell, so you don't get the three-dimensional shape of the proteins you're producing. It can cause fluctuations in concentration gradients of your ions, or depolarize your cell membrane. So that's how it's damaging. Nano can be very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. And when we talk about nanobots, what we're really talking about is self-assembling, in some cases just chemicals, elements that can self-assemble, but usually these nucleotides, RNA, DNA, PNA, XNA, these things self-assemble and start running a program. They start building proteins or enzymes, whatever. That's dangerous. I mean, that will override your genetic code and cause you no end of misery.
And worse. We have another issue that doesn't get enough press, and let's spend our last couple minutes on this. When you elect to take this bioweapon injection, you are opening the door for what may be the permanent building, if that's the right term, of microclots in your body. The spike protein apparently is involved with building microclot obstructions in your capillaries, potentially in your veins. Microclots don't go away. They just keep building. This is a nonstop issue. So you may be fine now, but a year of 24/7 microclot construction in your body, where are you going to be in a year or two?
Yeah, I think it's creeping up on people kind of in a stealth mode. I mean, these people that were vaxxed now back in the spring of this year are now, these are some of the people I'm seeing having real problems now with clotting.
I just don't think that we can for a moment look away from microclots, well, the big clots too, but microclots are particularly insidious because they'll be anywhere in your body. In your brain, in your little toe, it doesn't matter, and all points in between. And your body is being used to destroy itself. These microclots are being assembled. Go ahead.
I would add, too, that, you know, having blood that's thick and with no oxygen, it is a breeding ground for bacteria, fungus, other viruses. So it sets the stage for disease. You're not getting protected from anything. You are actually incubating disease by getting these injections.
Please look at the videos that got. It's a large block of text. You'll see it. And there are four videos in there. And the last one shows how fungus can build in the blood. What else does it show? It's very interesting. How fast it moves.
Yeah, that was that Candida auris, which is the drug-resistant form of Candida. It's very aggressive and, just parasitizes your bloodstream.
All right. Don't give up. We're not asking you to do that. We're asking you to be aware. study this. Stay tuned. We'll tell you as much as we possibly can here, the best information. You need to clean up your diet. That's first. The lighter you are, the healthier you'll be. Any other baseline things you can give people? I always look to diet as number one.
Yeah, I would say, you know, sunshine, fresh air, exercise to the extent that you can. Don't underestimate the low-hanging fruit.
No. And this is, we're talking basically about the unvaxxed. The vaxxed have another set of problems to deal with, and it's 24/7 microclots on up to that clot. If you saw the video of the woman pulling a clot out of her nose, which had to be 6 or 8 inches long, your body just clots. And you see that and you wonder where else she's got clotting going on.
So that this was awful.
All right. Well, that's it for tonight. Thank you, Erica, as always. We'll be back on Wednesday to do another version of this. Bring people up to date again. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah, good night.
And good night to all of you. Thanks for being here. We will be back tomorrow night.